Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Arrow stepped out into the street, breaking into Nier's thoughts. Arrow, Nier hissed, get back here. Of course, Arrow didn't even bother to respond as he ran across the street and ducked behind a cart. Adar was far enough away that he had not noticed the sudden movement. Melia saved me from my own son. Nier took a quick look at Thon, whose eyes were closed again before he chased Arrow into the rain. If that fool son of his tried to settle his grievances with Adar instead of Jorad, he was going to get himself killed. Nier still didn't think Arrow would actually go through with killing anybody, but he had held Jorad at the point of a sword. If the fool managed to do that to Adar, he would be lucky if he died quickly. And now? Chapter 8. Adar slid to a stop, wiping rainwater out of his eyes while gasping for breath as he put his back against the rough lumber of a shed. He brought up his blaster so it was ready in case Hunway or Turncoats or Tear stumbled into the backyard of the home he was cutting through. The extra blasters Adar had slung over his shoulder cut into his back, and he eased up off of the shed while still trying to take advantage of the lip of roof that stuck out overhead. It was the first opportunity he had taken for shelter since killing the last Turncoat, and the rain looked as though it was finally stopping anyway. Figures, he thought. That's just about what I would expect today. Now, I just need a dozen or so turncoats to chase me, and things will be right again. Adar shook his head as he looked at the remains of several dead Hunway. The tower had done its job well. He was more than a dozen blocks away from it and was continuing to find the burned-out armored husks of the Hunway. He had no way of knowing the effective range of the tower. The further he got from the tower, the antsier he became. He hoped all of the actual Hunway in the city had been killed, but he was not going to count on it. The smell of charred flesh still hung heavy in the air and overpowered a nearby pigsty. The pig looked up at Adar and grunted pitifully. Its back was covered with water, mud, and bits of hay. The pen lacked even a rudimentary shelter. He figured the animal was typically kept in the shed at times like this. He had never thought he would prefer the smell of pig manure over anything else, but he now found himself wishing for that unique, sickly sweet stench rather than the odor of the dead Hunway. He had hoped that the smell wouldn't be as bad the further he moved from the tower, but from what he could tell, the distance had not made a difference. The smell was far better than having all the Hunway alive, but that did not make each breath any less unpleasant. Movement at the corner of his eye drew his attention. He brought up his blaster. He had only been using blasters for a short time, and already his hand automatically moved to the button on the front of the weapon, his other touching the trigger. He had not been able to decide whether he liked the blasters, but he had already accepted them as part of his new reality. It would have been nice if everybody was already armed with a blaster so that they would be capable of killing the cursed Hunway. A part of him was glad the knowledge of how to make the blasters had been lost long ago. In a world with swords, Adar often had the advantage. If Adar could arm many people with a blaster, even an untrained person had a chance of bringing down a Hunway. It also meant that any fool with the ability to point and shoot could kill even the most skilled swordsmen. There was something wrong with that. It somehow felt uncivilized, though he had a hard time explaining, even to himself, how anything about killing could be civilized. The element of luck was far more important in a battle with blasters than a fight that only involved contemporary weapons. He supposed it wasn't that different than if there were archers in the mix, though it took months of effort for an archer to learn to shoot well. He preferred the redeem sword he had strapped to his back because it would not stop working like the blasters did. The movement turned out to be a small group of Okui. Adar assumed that a tall man in the front was the leader because he had a certainty to his walk that was not matched by the others, though the leafy camouflage he wore made him look more like a walking tree than a man. Even in broad daylight, he could have disappeared right into the bushes at the side of the nearby home. If Adar had not known where to look, he would have had a difficult time identifying the man. The Okui's faces were painted green. Adar was surprised to see that water slid off the coloring. Why didn't the rain wash it off? The forehead of the leader had a splotch of red paint. Adar noticed it because the man nodded to Adar as they passed, and his hair slid to the side, revealing the scarlet daub. Adar studied the other Okwi and saw they all had similar markings as well. It must have meant something, but he wasn't experienced enough with the Okwi to know what it was. Did it set them apart as a different tribe? The Okwi he had encountered before today had painted their faces black and had not been marked in any other way. Was that significant? He was not surprised to see the Okwi leaving so quickly, and even though he wanted an opportunity to talk with them further, something about the determined look on the first Okwi's face made Adar let them move right on past. He suspected that trying to get them to stop would not do any good anyway. In his experience, the Okwi only ever did what they wanted to do. Adar ground his teeth as he watched the Okwi disappear. He very much wanted to ask them about the metal men he'd seen back at the town hall, but was certain that if he ever did develop enough rapport with them to ask the question, they would not say much. The fact they referred to the metal men as gods was good enough to know that. The Okwi Jorred had met outside of Neberon had referred to them as such, and the others no doubt revered them in the same way. The metal men had all disappeared by the time he'd left the town square. If they worshipped these metal gods of theirs, he didn't want to offend them by asking a question that could be taken the wrong way. The pig grunted and broke into Adar's thoughts, bringing him back to the present. The Okwi were gone, and it was time for him to get moving. He had regained control of his breath and had managed to stamp his anger at Tear down to a more controllable level. The fighting with the turncoats had at least given him something to direct his fury at for a while. Another sudden movement drew his attention. He expected to see another group of Okwi, but instead, an armed young man waving a sword burst around the corner of the home. He had his weapon hanging loosely over his head as he ran. If the man had not been heading straight towards him, Adar would have burst out in laughter at the fool's attempt to charge. As it was, he cracked a small smile while he dropped the blaster he held and swung the others off his back before he pulled out his sword. He might have laughed anyway if something else had not just managed to get in his way again. How many distractions was he going to have before he caught up with Tear? 9 burning hells, he thought. If I believed the gods cared about us mere mortals, I would think one of them had decided to start playing games with me. It could have been Zinar, the god of chance, or Narya, the god of sport. He was said to be fond of pranks. Gods. Adar wasn't sure he believed in gods anymore. He entertained the idea of just finishing off the kid with a blast to the chest, but decided he could handle the matter with his sword almost as quickly. At least I'll fight him with a proper weapon. This way, the kid did not fall into the same category of the turncoats. Adar's blaster had splattered mud onto his pants when it hit the ground, but he did not bother looking. If he had, he wouldn't have been able to tell the difference. He was already covered in mud from head to toe and had lost count of the number of times he had dove into the mud or splashed through a puddle. The young man let out a howl as he got close, and Adar shook his head, not certain what he'd done to provoke the kid. Was this a turncoat who had lost his armor? No, he thought, that cannot be it. He would have just shot me with a blaster. The only people I've killed today have been turncoats. Not that he hadn't done his best to take Tear's head. Adar felt a chill sweep over him. Was this guy a Kopal? It had been a long time since he dealt with one of their members, to be sure, but what other cause would the man have for attacking him? I thought it was a problem only found in Rarbon. I should have supposed it would spread to other places as well. Was Adar being paranoid? It was a long way from Rarbon to Zekerani. Adar spread his feet and brought up his sword as he looked into the face of his approaching attacker and realized he knew this man. It was Arrow Paler, Nir's son. Adar had not recognized him at first because Arrow had always made certain to maintain a dignified appearance. His clothing was imported from out of town and he had been impeccably groomed. Arrow's shirt was now ragged, and his pants were not much better. His hair was matted against his head. He also had blood running down his face, and his shirt was covered with it as well. Adar growled. He had planned to just kill the man, but he could not bring himself to do that now. Arrow had managed to survive what had happened in Neberon and somehow made it to Zekerani only to watch the same thing happen here. Whatever was going on in his head, Arrow could not be in his right mind. Experiencing 2 cataclysmic events was enough to break a man. Narya must have taken a special interest in me indeed, Adar thought as he lunged forward and struck Arrow's sword before the lad was ready. The sound rang out through the air and Adar grunted. Any nearby turncoats would have heard that for sure. Arrow's arm flew back, and it was by luck alone he did not lose his blade. He tried to get it back down for another swing, but he was already too late. Adar caught Arrow's elbow with one hand and put his blade to Arrow's neck with the other. What are you doing? Adar demanded. If it's death you seek, I can oblige, but I would rather not. Arrow struggled against Adar's grasp instead of answering.
Sighing, Adar took away the youth's sword and flung it into the pigsty. It made a thwacking sound as it hit the dung and mud mixture. Let him climb in there to get it out. Maybe crawling through rotting poop will make him come to his senses. Adar snorted. It's doubtful he'll be able to take it away from the pig. Arrow's eyes widened, his face pale, and he stuttered. Adar repeated his question, and Arrow mumbled something about Thon and Goru that Adar did not understand. He thought he had caught the word payback in there as well, but none of the words coming out of Arrow's mouth made any sense. It was too garbled. Adar could not tell if it was from insanity or because the lad was gasping for breath. A man came running up from behind Arrow, and Adar was not surprised to see it was near. If Arrow had not just tried to skewer Adar, the two could have passed by without Adar recognizing anything about either one of them. Nir had always been fastidious about wearing his expensive clothes, too. But as with Arrow, he did not look the same as he had the night of the wedding party, before the Hunwe had come. He was filthy and bloody, his shirt was frayed around the arms with a rip in the side, and his trousers were about as muddy as Adar's. He approached with hands outstretched and to the side of him. "Adar," Nir said, "let him go. He won't try to harm you again. You have my word." Thunder cracked as he finished speaking. Lightning danced across the sky, and the rain came pouring down again. Adar snorted with derision, but the effect was lost in the storm. Upon reflection, he decided that was a good thing. Nir was presenting him with a way that would let him continue his chase after Tyr that did not involve killing Arrow. "What happened to him?" Adar asked, shouting to be heard over the downpour. "Look, I'm sorry. I'll just take him and we'll go." Nir placed a hand on Arrow's shoulder. Arrow struggled against Adar's grasp while he shrugged off his father's hands. His eyes went to Adar's blade. "We can take him. 2-on-1. This is for Guru and Thon. We owe them that much." "What's he talking about?" Adar asked, a chill sweeping over him that had nothing to do with the cold rainwater. "Had the idiots crossed Jorad?" Nir tried to smile, but it looked more like he was baring his teeth. "Arrow's lost his mom and his sister to the Hunwe. Took them right up in their ship. We are just trying to get them back. It's too much for him to handle. Bloody Melia, I haven't come to grips with it myself. Please, just let him go and you'll never see us again." "That's got nothing to do with what he did here." Adar frowned. "I'm no Hunwe, and if I were, he would be dead by now. You're lucky that I recognized him. I about ran him through. Why does he keep on going on about Goru and Thon? It was just a miss." "He killed them," Arrow snarled, interrupting Nir. He lunged for Adar, despite the fact that Adar's sword was still at his neck. "Your Melia-cursed son shot Goru with a blaster." Adar held onto Arrow but lowered his sword. A small line of blood had formed on Arrow's neck during his last movement, the blade having just nicked the skin. "This kid is lucky twice over," Adar thought. "How many more times is he going to try to throw his life away?" Using one hand to keep the kid at bay, Adar used the other to sheath his sword. Once it was put away, Arrow tried to come after Adar again, but he grabbed the kid by the shoulders and pushed him back into Nir's waiting arms. Nir latched onto Arrow while he struggled. "I'm sorry for your loss," Adar said. He almost added that he was sure Jorad had a reason for the things he had done, but thought better of it. As much as he disliked Nir and Arrow, he did not feel the need to hurt them. It was obvious that Arrow was not a skilled fighter, but he could not so easily discount Nir's abilities. There had to be some truth to the stories he had heard about Nir. Adar's eyes moved to the ugly, expensive weapon that hung at Nir's side. He was loath to have things devolve into a fight. "If I have one more distraction..." "You need to get Arrow's head straightened out," Adar said. "We are all on the same side now, and if you haven't noticed, we're losing badly. And if this is to be mankind's final hour, we shouldn't waste our breath and energy fighting each other." Adar paused. "I might have asked you to join me had we met under a different circumstance." Arrow continued to struggle while an incredulous look appeared on the face of his father. "If you can fix this," Adar said, "I may still be open to it." Adar looked at Arrow and took a step closer, knocking away Arrow's hands as he did. Did the kid still think he had a shot of harming Adar, or was he so daft not to know when he had lost? "Arrow, you can continue to try to kill me if you want. If you do, I will kill you." Nir's lips tightened at the words, but he did not say anything. If it had not been for the rain, he might have been red in the face. "Or you and your father can help me fight the Hunwe. I know how to kill them, and I could use the help." When Adar stepped back, he suppressed a smile when he noticed Nir's mouth hanging open. Adar could not blame the man. The last time he had spoken with Nir, it had almost come to blows. It was a lucky thing that Jin had gotten in the way. If Adar could recruit these men, it wouldn't be the first time he had worked with people that would have preferred to kill him. Over time, he won them over. He always did. He thought of Terror and hid a scowl. I can usually bring them around, he amended. It was too bad that Arrow had been so hot-headed. If Adar had stumbled upon them and not had to fight off Arrow, he would have been a lot more direct in his efforts to recruit them. It would have been nice to have help if he came across any other turncoats on the way to the Arches. He already had enough blasters to arm all three of them. Arrow continued to struggle, and the storm covered up most of his growling. Adar looked on, thinking it would be a pity if he couldn't bring them to his side. Arrow was of no consequence and did not pose a threat to Adar. If Nir was even half as good as word around Nebron had said he was, he would be of some use. Given time, both would be able to handle a blaster. Adar shook his head as Arrow fought against his father. Not that I'll be giving him one anytime soon. Adar wouldn't take them on unless they were both willing to swear oaths never to harm him or Jorad. Even if they did, he would still keep a close eye on Arrow. And Nir for that matter as well, he thought. He walked back to where he dropped his blasters and picked them up, shaking off the mud. Maybe the reason they kept dying on him wasn't because they were made to be exposed to the elements. It had been raining the night they'd first killed Hunway and taken blasters off their vanquished foe. It had been raining all day today as well. But then again, the Hunway had not taken any special care to keep them dry. No, that wasn't it either. Confound it, he had to figure this out, or there would be little to gain long-term for time spent scavenging the blasters from the dead. He could feel Nir's eyes on him as he moved. When he returned, Nir stared longingly after the blasters. Adar hid a smile. If Arrow could be calmed down, Nir might come just so he could learn to use a blaster. We usually butt heads, but I'm afraid that has more to do with ego than anything else, Adar thought. Nir has a good head on his shoulders and would make a useful ally. Once Adar was sure Arrow wouldn't turn the weapon on him, Arrow could be trained to use the blaster as well. His abysmal lack of training on the sword would not matter then. Arrow tried to twist free, but Nir grabbed him. It would never work, Nir said, shaking his head while pulling Arrow back. He was staring at the blaster again. If Nir looked among the dead Hunway, he might find one of his own. But he would not know how to use it. I just need to get him away from here. Good luck to you. Before Nir could go any further, two Hunway turncoats turned the corner. Adar brought his blaster up. Get down now! He stepped around the two men already firing. The turncoats had their blasters up as though they had been expecting something, but Adar moved faster and was able to get off the first shot. Bloody Melia, he thought. They heard me fighting with Arrow. The kid has been shouting the whole time. Maybe the turncoats will kill him for me. He pushed away the thought, uncomfortable that he'd been able to think such a thing. He's a kid, not much younger than Jorad. Melia only knows what kind of growing up my own son needs to do. Adar ran, his shot going high, buzzing over the head of the closest turncoat. The turncoat ducked behind the home, even though Adar's blast had not come anywhere close to the man. The other turncoat returned fire as well, but the shot went through the spot where Adar had been standing moments before. The turncoat's aim had been much better than Adar's. It was his timing that had been off. Letting out a low-pitched growl, Adar fired another, only to have it sail right past the turncoat. By that time, Nir had dragged Arrow to safety behind the corner of the house. Bloody Melia, Adar thought as he fired a third time, wishing that things had been different so that he could have armed the men. 3-on-2 would have been much better. The turncoat charged while firing. Flinging himself to the ground, Adar kept his weapon up and fired again once he landed. He felt the blast go over his own head. He rolled to the side and fired again, the blasters on his back clinking together as he did. His last blast tore through the turncoat's leg, pitching the man forward into the ground. Putting his sights on the fallen man, Adar pulled the trigger and watched with satisfaction as it burned a hole through him lengthwise. He brought his blaster up as he searched for the other, but everything had fallen still. "Watch behind you," Adar cried as he moved with enough speed to cause Arrow to jump. "I've lost one." Nir nodded and pushed Arrow forward until they came to the far side of the home. He hesitated at the corner before looking behind him, clearly expecting the turncoat, but apparently seeing nothing. Adar scanned their surroundings. Nothing moved. He checked the back door of the home, expecting something to happen there. Everything was still. He was turning in a full circle when he heard scuffling from overhead and looked up at the roof of the house to see the turncoats looking down at them. Adar's chest froze as he brought up his blaster, but it was too late. The turncoat had the drop on him as he pulled the trigger of his weapon. He could see the bloody man smile through his faceplate. Then a remarkable thing happened. The turncoat lost his footing. His shot went wild as he slid down the roof and fell off. Squealing came from behind. Adar was about to turn on instinct when he recognized it came from the pig. He ran forward instead, firing his blaster as he did. Nothing happened. The confounded thing had stopped working. Adar did not have time to grab another from off his back as he tossed the malfunctioning weapon to the side just before slamming into the turncoat that was scrambling to get to his feet. Adar landed on the turncoat's arm, covering the top of the blaster as he did. His eyes met the turncoat's as he pulled out his oakwe blade. Laughter danced in the turncoat's eyes, but it ended a second later. Slamming the blade into the turncoat's neck, Adar flipped back the face shield with his other hand and stabbed the black blade into the man's eye, pushing it all the way in. A silver covering had already formed on the neck by that time, so for good measure he went through the other eye as well, this time pausing to turn the blade before bringing it out. He nodded his head when he saw that there wasn't any silver cover forming on the remains of either eye. Adar sheathed his oaky blade, even though it was bloody, and picked up the dead turncoat's blaster and spun around the area to make sure that the danger had passed. Nir had his sword out and was doing the same while Arrow stared at the dead turncoat. After a few minutes had passed without anything else happening, Nir took Arrow by the arm and dragged him away. Before they disappeared, Nir looked back and gave Adar a slight nod of his head.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.